RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Hi, Winston. We finally connected.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, look, we're going to have a better system than this. It's just...
What, you mean?
You come all calm and placid to the interview and all of a sudden you're stressed out like a Shanghai trying to make the technology work. You've got to have a more simple system.
Yeah, the carnival is over, Winston, for it.
Carnival. I love that Judith Durham introduction. The carnival is over.
Yeah, it was hardly a killer punch blow, really, because it's such a soft song. You know, you want some heavy metal maybe behind it.
Well, yes, I know. But look, in the split second of a conclusion in a speech, you don't start trawling around. You just go for the first one you can think of.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Okay. A few things to talk about. First of all, how was APEC?
It was extraordinarily busy because we went to Chile, first of all, to Santiago for a series of meetings. Then we flew up to Mexico City for another round of meetings up there, then down to APEC. I got to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, start the first meeting at 7 o'clock, and flew out that night to Santiago, where the plane, and they made our connection to Santiago to come back to New Zealand. The plane broke down and was 4 hours on the tarmac, so we had one shocking trip.
Okay, what was that, LATAM, was it?
Well, LATAM it was, yes, and APEC went very well. It was a good chance for particularly the Prime Minister to catch up because, you know, he's new as Prime Minister, to catch up with a whole lot of international leaders and of APEC, and we had a chance ourselves to, you know, get around the place as fast as possible. Some of these events are really about making personal connections. As much as anything else, it's about making a personal connection. So you can phone the person up sometime and they'll say, yeah, I remember you. I saw you at APEC.
Yeah. For you, you just mentioned the Prime Minister before and, you know, not so much experience in this as you. What's it like for you watching? Because you're the master, right?
At this. I never said I was a master.
No, that's me.
Right. Well, what do you mean, what's it like watching what?
Well, you know, you've been through so many of these events and you're watching the Prime Minister. It's new to him. I'm just thinking that, you know, it's not, as you say, it's not your first rodeo.
Yes, but, you know, Chris Luxon has got an advantage. He has been in, not that environment, but he's been in a somewhat familiar environment as a business person. And that shows in that context. So,
right.
You know, he's got some serious advantages that a lot of politicians didn't have and will never have.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's quite handy to have a prime minister or a leader experienced in business in these situations. Well, it's obviously
no doubt about it all, because that's what it's about. And you see so many that they're there. They've got a telephone book advice behind them. They're reading all the script. They're waving their hands around. You think, yes, but what does that person really think? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, is there anything that you can report back to us that could be beneficial to New Zealand coming out of that in terms of trade or anything like that?
That's a seriously perceptive question, because I've watched in my career a level of trade that we got with South American countries, and then it just stopped in terms of its rise. And I put that down to a number of things, including not putting the number and foreign people there in terms of trade and industry and diplomats into South America, not putting their work in. I regret that, because I think that we keep on retrenching sometimes when we should be expanding our connections and going as hard as we can. And my conclusion when I came back was, look, we're going to have to do a whole lot more, which means go out there and find out where we've got an opportunity and, dare I say it, sell ourselves properly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Like, heavily, hard sell, right?
That's right. You've got to sell yourselves. And we've got all the sort of talk I've watched and thinking to myself, even as an opposition, thinking, that's bull dust. We don't punch above our weight unless it's done the lightest weight in the ring. We have got to do better. Croatia, for example, has got 2 million people less than us. It came out of communism in the 1990s and it's got 86 posts around the world, going for it as hard as they can. It, like Ireland, like Singapore, like those sorts of economies, like Norway, is an example to us, but we don't seem to learn from it.
Mm. And South America's coming on, isn't it? Ecuador, now Argentina, first budget surplus, I think, since anyone can remember. Things are turning around, so we've got to be in there, don't we?
Well, that's the point. You're surprising me about Argentina, because it looks like it might be on track for the first time for a long time. You know, there's a time for about 25 years when they look to be like a counterbalancing economy to the United States. That's how successful they were. And every great thing they built, including the Opera House, was all done that period. And then the politics went wrong. And politics does matter, see? It's a good example of it.
It matters here too. Okay, so what do you make of the... Well, we know what you said in Parliament. What do you make, though, for us right now, of the week that's just gone here in New Zealand?
Well, what is saddened by it was, as I try to say in my speech, that this was not a hikoi, it was a kākoi. The Pāri Māori set this thing and jacked it up. They set up a incorporated society operation to get the money in. They organised it all from within side of Parliament, flew down and stayed at the Ngāi Sofitel, and then called it a march. And the mainstream media stood there and cheered and admired it all when the substance of it was not there and the numbers were not there either. Anyone can get a drone and find out that. But here's the real point. The balance of Māori were around the back home, and the massive numbers of Māori were back there working two jobs, three jobs to pay for the sort of circus that was going on. And they'll have all those sincere people as well who were part of the march who didn't realise how they were being manipulated. And that's what's wrong.
One
last thing. They're coming vans and cars to protest legislation that's dead on the water. It's simple.
You wonder if you ask specifically what the issue was for the marches on the hikoi, do you think they could put forward anything specific? Like, I'm here because of this specific thing. I'm wondering if that...
The mainstream media...
It would be possible.
Actually, the mainstream media actually asked children what they thought. They were asking 7 and 8 year olds what they thought, and younger children what they thought. Now, they could possibly conceive how stupid that looks. And none of these kids could answer because they didn't know why they were there. And others were there as well. And when some people like Sean Plunkett asked them, do you know this, this, and this? They would say, no, I don't know that. So in terms of misinformation, it was colossal because this was a political stunt by the Māori Party.
Apparently the Māori role has kind of bumped up since this. I was reading.
Well, let me just go through very carefully with this. The Pāri Māori should be being investigated by the authorities. We know that they're in breach of the charities legislation. We know that they interfered with collection of data for the census, and we know that they were giving people food and succor on election day, which is called treating. And I want to know why the institutions of this country, who were so keen and mad to go out and try and prosecute me without any evidence at all, with evidence now that they've got right in front of their face where Te Pāri Māori was involved, is not doing its job. It sucks, you know, when you see how some people can get away with it because the authority is too scared to attack it because a Māori is doing it. Well, actually, I'm a Māori as well, and I've been a half Scots, so I'm a Māori. I'm a New Zealander first, of course. But they didn't stop with my party, and I've got more Māori in my party who believe in New Zealand as a country, one flag, one nation, one people, one law, and the right to worship who you like. There's a whole lot of people in my party called Māori, and so there are a lot of Māori in other parties as well. And here we have the media painting this as the surge of Māori. No, it's not. That was their high point. That's it.
Are you aware of the Brian Tamaki court throwing out the charges against him in court, happened in court? The police pulled the pin. Anything to say about that? Because as I understand it, that's a precedent now that you can't lock people down, abuse the Bill of Rights in an emergency. That's very significant, isn't it?
Yes, but the police should have known that at the time, because there were people who were taking the system on, who were being mandated out of their employment, who were taking the system on back then and they were winning. But the trouble was it was such a narrow set of cases that and the timeline didn't have enough people, give enough people enough chance to actually enact upon their rights or act upon their rights. In Tamaki's case, with the distance of time, it became very clear to the police, you're the ones who can't win this case because you got the law wrong.
All right. On to Ukraine. Should we be worried, like sitting here? And I'm asking this because I don't see any reporting of it. I think overnight Russia has made an attack on Ukraine with some kind of new weapon they're talking about. There's escalation going on. We're kind of on a side. If it's thermonuclear war, probably won't get to that. I'm fingers crossed, everything crossed. But we need to, do we have a plan to deal with that, Winston, in this country?
Does New Zealand have a plan to deal with that? No. And the reason is it's a long way away. We have been supportive in the sense of sending aid, but do we have a plan to be of any help greater than that?
Well, just to survive. You know, if we don't get diesel, our resilience, how are we going to? I mean, is it time to think about that, or is it too early?
That's an excellent question. Yes, it's right around our bailiwick now. We have been working on it for some time. Shane Jones and I have been saying for a long time that the close down of Marsden Point was an act of economic sabotage against New Zealand's interests, and we must get a utility in there to ensure that supply lines of fuel are maintained, because if they were to be stopped, this country gets shut down. We can't even fuel essential services like hospitals, like ambulances, like firefighting, like the police. This is a shocking circumstance that's built up. And it's one of the reasons why some of us have got so much contempt for the mainstream media, is that they don't think this is a crisis. And they understand when somebody gets up and says this, maybe we should give us a bit of coverage, because if New Zealanders knew how threatened we were by blockages to our supply lines, they'd be alarmed. And the Labor Party, and Megan Woods in particular, allowed it to happen. If she hadn't done that and forced Marsden Point to stay open, in a crisis we could keep 20% of the economy going and all the essential parts of it, like firefighting, like the police, like the ambulances, we could have kept them going. Now we're in a very perilous circumstance. Yeah, we should be worried because of this sort of narrow, immature decisions made by politicians who should never have been there in the first place.
And another bit of reportage from overnight is that someone has said, you've got to check these things pretty thoroughly, but someone has said that Putin has said that maybe we consider a ceasefire in this, but it has to be negotiated with Trump.
I think that is credible, that could be possible. I have got no evidence for that. But I think whatever you might consider the arguments here, when Trump was there, they were a bit like when Reagan was there. They knew not to mess around with him.
Mm.
And what was tragic was that in those gaps of weakness in American leadership on this issue, they marched into Crimea in 2014, and then 3 years ago, they marched into the Ukraine, the rest of the Ukraine.
You see it in a very black and white, with respect, you see that in a very black and white way, because we've talked about this before, but there's a lot more behind that led to that. It's not as simple as that, is it? You see it as a point of law.
Well, it's not only a point of law. Ukraine gave up their nuclear weapons and their nuclear weaponry in arrangement with Russia as well. You see what I'm saying here?
Putin's no, I understand. I understand. Yeah.
Well, Putin's aware of that. But, you know, he's carrying on as though he got invaded.
Well, no one likes weapons. No one likes a Cuban missile crisis on their doorstep.
No, we don't. But he should know that Russia is not being strengthened by his behavior. It's been weakened. He now needs North Korean soldiers to help him. See, well, he's a much bigger country than Ukraine. But look at that. Look at what's happening now.
Yeah, I think that's, we could talk about that. They've got plenty of feed of recruits in Russia. They're a huge population. All right. Just back to home. How do you see this after this week? How do you see it sort of settling out or dying down as, you know, people have their say on the streets? This bill will not go further than a particular phase. What do people sort of go back to doing what they're usually doing until the next thing?
Well, I think we're starting to see emerging slowly better information about what this is all about. Now, you remember 42 KCs were meant to have signed up, as King's Councils were signed up to oppose Seymour's legislation or what was going on in Parliament.
Hmm.
Now, it was what was going on in Parliament that they were opposing, so to speak. But, you know, there were over probably 200 KCs. So where are the other 75%+ who didn't sign up?
Yep.
You know, very senior one, the most senior KC, but I miss it saying about why I didn't sign up. And it's worth reading. It's written, it's worth looking at very, very carefully. His name's Jim Farmer. Mm. But he said that very carefully. And he actually says, well, actually, Luxon was right to take the position he is. And that's my position. Our position was, we're going to give Seymour's bill a chance to be seen, but we think it's fatally flawed. Now, I've got different reasons for Luxon. My reasons is that the Treaty of Waitangi does not have any principles. And my experts are Ngata, Pomeroy, Buck, and Carroll, these brilliant Maori leaders of a former time, far closer to the event, and not these posers, do I turn, even though I quite like Willie as a person, but these posers like Willie Jackson, who thinks he knows more than his paramount former glorious leader of, in political terms, of Ngāti Porou, so up running Ngata. You got these clowns in Parliament trying to defy that, say that Ngata was wrong. This beats me, their lack of humility. I'm not from down there. I'm from Ngāpuhi territory. But I respect those leaders in different parts of the country in a former time because I thought they were geniuses in the way they conducted themselves and how good they were understanding the history and also the locality and the modernity of the country they were living in. Mm. You see what we've got here? We've got these sociologists at university talkers and lecturers, and dare I say, jurists, making up the laws they go along. It's not based on fact.
Winston, thanks for beaming in again. I'm glad we got the mute on mute sorted out.
Next time we'll sort it out earlier.
Yeah. All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming back on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Winston Peters on RCR.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.